This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. I am in Make Space, a kind of basement cavern that has been converted into a space for performances, exhibitions, and meetings, a somewhat flexible space to enable a gathering. In the coming weekend and running into the next weekend is a rather unusual performance, at least for me, which takes its lead from something very common and which could well occur within this space, a kanduri. And the people I'm talking to are Zed Adam Idris, writer of the performance, and Nadia Akila, performer. Welcome.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. Hi. Thank you.
Why did you choose this space?
I feel this space is rather flexible and it fits our look and our feel of the entire play. We have three elements in one space and each element is like a spillage into each other. So we feel that this space fits our project and it's the most flexible we can find in KL.
Yeah, Zed, you are the writer for this production. First, who are Keeper Studio? Are you part of Keeper Studio?
Yes. Keeper Studio was formed by Azad Mazay, the director. But now I'm not actually, I'm more like a, what do you call that? Like an associate of the Keeper Studio.
And Nadia, you are also part of this Keeper Studio.
No, but I am only for this project, I guess.
In that case, I really need a director who is the founder of this Keeper Studio. As that you are the founder of Keeper Studio.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about this organization.
Actually, a collective of artists, of designers, writers. Zed is one of the founders also. He also was part of it when we started it a few years back. And it went from, doing translation work, doing copywriting, doing collateral design, to now experience design. Among other things that we're trying to do would be first to try out, experiment with different type of storytelling, putting narrative into, if I may use the word, performance art, ritual, and interactivity.
Sounds like this is some kind of a side project for people in the advertising industry or in the design industry, as opposed to people who are actors.
Yeah, I think because I do this full time and I'm not in the advertising world, I do theatre, I perform, and I also do behind-the-scene work. I call myself a theatre maker, and Zed himself is a writer, and this is his first attempt at writing in Malay and doing a play.
Why have you formed this collective?
Out of the necessity to sustain ourselves and for the solidarity and the pragmatic reason of working together, to have like an enterprise, to call ourselves a name and to make it easy to work from there.
But some would argue that forming a collective means you have to find enough money to sustain everyone in the group.
So that's why, I think that's why Zed Adam was quite hesitant in saying he's part of it because he's not formally or technically in. So who's in it would be myself and Tan Hui Woon, another partner of mine who's based in Vietnam, in Ho Chi Minh. So the both of us, we were uni students. We went to UTM in Johor and we've worked before in more than a decade now. This is our first work again together. I've invited her to say and seek different ways on how to sustain, basically the money and business side.
She's the businesswoman.
She is an artist at heart. She plays music. She's always, she incubates and motivates and support newcomers, new businesses, entrepreneurs, She herself is a very, in my opinion, visionary, very open and very progressive. So I think I would need someone like that to produce and to help push me as an artist to go places, like, to fly.
What is the mission of Keeper's Studio?
Okay, at this point, we're looking at bridging activism and the arts in a way that our work has been inspired by activists. I think simply because the country needs it. This country needs a work like that, lah. I feel content that is strong and to make impact.
I'm aware that two of your collaborators, one of which is Sisters in Islam, there's the association with Sisters in Islam by itself create a kind of controversy.
First of all, I've always been a fan of Sisters in Islam and their work, and I feel very honored, I feel like, oh, I've arrived. They trust me enough to bring about a narrative that they are proud of, I hope, and hopefully don't mind associating with. And I think because we bring something to the table, I think we are trying to push storytelling and narrative presentation in a slightly different format.
I'm going to ask you now, Zed, by involving Sisters in Islam, what risk do you think you run of Jakim Hakim coming to this Kenduri Kendara?
I think we should welcome them. If they want to watch, yes, please come and watch our show. And if it creates a kind of buzz or infamy, then I think all kind of publicity is good publicity. And also we want to create a kind of discourse, because the topic that we present here, that we are staging here, is very domestic, and it has this religious inclination to it, and like a Muslim household and a Muslim wives, and how we present it in a very subtle way. Yes, exactly.
Nadia, what is this Kenduri Kendara? 3-in-1. When I hear 3-in-1, I think of coffee, sugar and creamer. So what is this 3-in-1?
It can be something like that, because it complements each other. It is, if you ask me, it is actually an experience. We're inviting you to experience our kind of Kenduri Kendara. That involves food and, you know, getting to know somebody when, you know, strangers no longer strangers, and then inviting them into our home as a Nina, my character, and just experience our 13-year story. It's just simple as that. It is an experience.
So when the audience comes in, what happens? How do they follow the story?
You come in, first of all, you get the tickets, please. And then you just come to the venue, and somebody will guide you whether or not you wish to participate, which we really hope that you will. Yes, you will be guided to number one, number two, and of course the story number three.
Are they related stories?
They are. Like Nadia says, we end the entire experience with the play, which is Sama. So before Sama happens, we have two other elements. We call it Gerobok and Swap. Swap is the feeding ritual where you have to come. Well, not really have to, but if you were to choose to do Swap, then you have to feed the other participants with your own hands. And then if you choose to take part in Gerobo, you can go to that space and you can participate in a Tudong self-portrait experiment.
I have to go back to the director. I assume then the story as written by Zed comes only at the end. The other two are in some sense just rituals or ways for the audience to participate. And was that written?
It was developed. It was workshopped and designed as per Swap and Grobo. And I must credit the inspiration came from a nasi dulang makan-makan activity done by this amazing human being, Kumaran Agapa. Hi, Kumaran. So he is based in Batam Juntai. He's an activist, and he calls what he does a grassroots type of activism, whereby he would bridge the Indian community and the Muslim community, mostly the Melayu, the Malay community in Batam Juntai, to come together, have gotong royong, have activities, and towards the end, they would, by the end of the activities, they would have food. So it happens that most of the time with lack of cutlery and crockeries, so the masjid people would offer dulang or trays. They would eat together from a tray. So this tray is now a communal thing whereby there's food and you feed yourself. So after a while, it becomes feeding each other. That is my inspiration. And I met him at my own show when I directed a show called Baromen a year ago. So when he came, he got excited and he told me the story. And we were strangers and we were just sharing about our work. And there you go. I got really inspired. And I thought because it moved me, I think I should really go with my instinct, research more of it and saw... And you know really try to elevate that into a ritual lah. So in a performance context, I call it a ritual, a feeding ritual.
I'm speaking with three people who are involved in a production called Kanduri Kandara. Zed Adam is the writer, Azad Mazrir is the director, and Nadia Akila, performer. We've only started talking about what this thing is. Coming up, we'll talk about why are they doing this? What is this production trying to evoke in us? This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're listening to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng in Mixed Space Quill City Shopping Mall. And I'm speaking with three people: Azad Mazir, who is the director, Zed, who is the writer, and Nadia, who is a performer. And this performance called Kanduri Kandara is a performance that will be held in the basement of the mall and very theatrical in its own way. Nadia, what do you think this play is trying to communicate?
Well, since I am very much involved in Sama, I think we are trying to create, or rather remind wives, or I don't know, the Muslim wives who are kind of being treated quite unfair. They don't know that they have rights to be protected, or they can get out of certain situation that, you know, they do not need the men. It can be quite sensitive. So I think this is one of it. This is what I am representing. I am representing these women who think they're weak, who are, you know, who people think they are also weak, but I'm representing this kind of woman. So that's from my side.
Zed, you are the writer of this performance. What are you trying to communicate, or what are you trying to explore for people to look at and say, here is an issue to be discussed, here is the beginning of a dialogue?
Sama is actually based on a true story of a friend who was having difficulty to get out of marriage. She is still married right now. Sama is basically about her and also about other Muslim women in Malaysia particularly, where they have very little information or awareness on their rights as a wife. So when I write Sama, I try to portray what would actually happen in a household, how little things would affect and would lead to bigger problems, and how the chemistry between the husband and wife can sometimes fall apart, and how we can relate to that, and how every person, not just married, single or married or otherwise, we try to share this part of a story with them so that they can see and maybe they can do something about their life, that maybe we have shown a really good or bad example that they can take home.
Even without seeing the play, I can imagine a story that you have written in terms of a couple and the dynamics between the couple. In terms of the very first ritual of putting on a tudung and taking a self-portrait, and that's for the audience, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So there is Grobo. You've just mentioned Grobo. Grobo is a space member of the audience would go into a bedroom. And this bedroom is it belongs to Dharma and Nina, the couple. They'll go through some, so I would call it stimuli. There's a video installation, there are real tudongs to play with, and there are also photos. And while going through this props and stimuli, they would be recorded in front of a mirror. So when they try things out on themselves, tudongs and scarves and, you know, those things, and they would be asked questions to evoke their own memory in terms of gender, identity, and their own story of tudong.
Who will be asking the questions?
That would be coming from my assistant directors, Amanda Nell and Christina Ruslan.
They will be standing by the mirror asking questions. By doing this, you have, in a way, drawn attention to the tudong. What is the point that you are trying to create a dialogue out of?
First of all, progressive, positive discourse. And second of all, I think this is, of course, I'm basically a man, so I'm male. But in my own terms, a letter, a response to my own sisters and my own mother. 12 years ago, I wanted to make a documentary regarding tudong, the subject tudong. I wanted to use my own sisters, whereby at the time, three of them had very diverse opinions and stands when it comes to tudong. So one would really wear quite strictly, the other one would wear skirts and be fashionable and just not care about wearing headscarves or whatsoever. And the third one would be confused which to follow and what to decide. And my mom, that's my mom, who would, from time and time again, would advise or suggest that, hey, maybe this is time for you to wear tudong. You're Malay woman, Muslim, blah, blah, blah. So fast forward 12 years later, like this year, all of them wear tudong. Two of them would wear tudong in the house. Personally and intimately, we had already had discussions over this or talk at home. It intrigues me even more, actually, this change of this landscape in my own house. It has changed, and it is actually reflective of our society, our city, our country, that it is becoming more tudong-driven. Is it necessarily good or necessarily bad? This is what I want to find out. And I think when you ask me why and what kind of feelings or whatever I want to evoke, right, I personally feel, simplistically speaking, anyone can wear anything they want. And the rest of us should not be, in my opinion, jerks about it. Because the process that we've done, the research that we've gone through, and the interviews that we've done with women we are featuring for the video installation, we interview them first to get to know them and to really stick to our principle that we shouldn't audition. So we should talk to women who are close and within our circle first, and hear their story, listen to their story and what they've got to say. What I can conclude just out of these 9 or 8 women whom I call the grey women, because they are at a juncture in their life, they do wear and not wear tudong at the same time in their life currently. I would say simplistically that conservatism is here, even within the middle-class, educated, Western-educated, English-speaking people. It is on our shores now. This is where I come in as an artist to really give this reflection. Like I'm trying to make my work reflect what's happening outside. And so people get to speak about it, and probably for the first time in their life, trying tudong out and really inspecting the object as a cultural object.
Do you take a position
I used to judge my sister. I said, this is not Iran. What are you doing wearing tudung in the house? I think that has changed. As an artist, I personally feel it's not the best of stand to have, to come in with that lens of judgment. I think I can speak on behalf of the women that I've interviewed, that these women, they have reasons beyond religious reasons why they would wear and not wear at the same time. Some would say that it is because of peer pressure, societal pressure, familial pressure, parental pressure, spouse pressure. Some would say, I do not want so because I feel more liberated, I feel more free, I feel more intelligent, I feel more confident. So the spectrum is really vast. And being a man, before people ask, like, hey, you're a man, why are you doing this? Aren't you going to be... Because I've been asked before, aren't you fetishizing tudung? Are you going to be fair? I would respond by saying even women have some sort of have caused misogyny and patriarchy to live on by, you know, condoning certain things.
Women are not completely innocent. Correct. In this context.
So I don't feel it. It is about gender, the subject that I'm doing, but my work, it is gendered. It is on gender and identity. Just that I feel the one who's doing it, it doesn't have to matter whether I'm male or female. I think that's more progressive, lah. And I feel very compelled to do this work because I'm surrounded by women, strong women, who has their own ground, reasons, doing what they do.
As the writer, Zed, what do you do to keep your own perspective either in or out of the play purposely?
As a writer, I think we try to put a bit of ourselves and a bit of our own perspective into the work that we do. Yet, for me personally, I do inject a bit of my own stance on it. But I will also want to portray a sense of neutrality. So Sama is actually about, not about men versus women or male versus female, but it's more about a clash of expectation and a clash of point of view, that these two people, no matter their gender, they just simply, their connection just simply collapsed, and I try to be as neutral as I can to portray that.
To what extent does the tudung feature in the story itself?
In the story, we definitely have a subtle action when Nina was doing a lot of thinking about her journey as a wife and as a mother. We insert that that part in the play. I put it on and I put it off again just to portray me trying to look for my own identity, that kind of thing. Yes.
How does the way the show is put together, with women coming in, or I guess even men could try putting on the tudung, nothing to stop them, right? How does having that ritual at the start of the play impact how the play will be experienced or felt or interpreted?
Okay, let's say for Grobo, for example, a participant would come and they would try tudung and touch it and wear it. And there's this part in Sama, in the play, where Nina, played by Nadia Akila, would put on and put off the tudung as part of a ritual. Whenever she contemplates or whenever she thinks about stuff, she would put on the tudung. So we blow up this section from the play to have its own space, and we turn it into this experimental self-portrait called Grobo. And it's the same thing that happens with Suap. There's this scene where the husband and wife feed each other with their hands. It's very romantic, it's very playful. And we take that element and we blow it up to have its own space, where we call it Suap, where participants can yeah, feed each other.
You know, we live in a multicultural society. We have Indians, Malays. Do you think the perception of the Tudong is seen by the other races in a kind of stereotypical way? Tudong means something. Non-Tudong means something else. For the non-Malays or non-Muslims who do not have to deal with the intricacies of their religion and the reasons for wearing or not wearing.
My response to that, I believe that the relevance is high, is huge here.
For even
for non-Malays. Fatwas can be issued, and fatwa by, i.e. opinions by the scholars. Sharia law is almost introduced, and I don't know, maybe the country, some states would adopt it, some states won't. And there are non-Muslims here. I feel anything that happens around us, be it Muslim matters or non-Muslim matters, everyone should be part of the discussion because you are part of that system. I feel that hence this work wants to create that discourse through a sense of narrative, a sense of, you know, inspecting the object closely.
So definitely from your perspective, it's a play that should be seen not by just Muslims and Malays, but...
It is very universal. Cultural object can be anything. It could, I mean, replace it with X object, like, I don't know, kebaya. Okay, by the way, I should also mention that grobok, part of it, the part where we ask questions and at the same time the member of the audience would inspect it in front of a mirror and put it on themselves. This method, methodology, I adapted it from Victoria Katoni's work. She's an Australian artist who were based in Bali, and she was here also in KL for some time ago, and a dear friend of mine. So I included that in my work because I was so inspired. I believe that there's nothing wrong also at the same time to adapt work and while crediting them accordingly to enhance your own experience or enhance your own journey as an artist or your work.
I've been talking with Zed Adam Idris, writer, Nadia Akila, performer, and Azad Madzir, who is the director of this immersive participatory performance called Kanduri Kandara. From this Thursday, that is tomorrow, September 14th through to Sunday, September 17th, and then again on Thursday, September 21st to Sunday, September 24th. The venue of this performance is MakeSpace in Quill City Mall. And MakeSpace is on LG 16 in the mall. And the mall is on Jalan Sultan Ismail, almost across the road from Sheraton Imperial Kuala Lumpur. Showtimes, 7 p.m. And tickets are priced at 45 with concessions at 25 for senior citizens, students, and those who are differently abled. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lin Soon Heng, BFM 89.9. And thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Soon.
Thank you, BFM.
Thank you so much. See you at the show.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.